Once upon a time, there was an older gentleman. I think he was in his early 80s. He was having heart problems, so he decided to go get a checkup, go to his doctor. Well, he went to the doctor, and a couple of days later, that same doctor saw the older gentleman walking in the park, and he had a beautiful woman who's walking hand in hand, well, arm in arm with a beautiful lady. The doctor was intrigued. He's rather intrigued. So he went to the older gentleman, pulled him aside, and he said, "I see you're doing rather well." And the older gentleman said, "Yeah, doc, I decided to take your advice." The doc said, "What advice was that?" And the older gentleman said, "Well, I got me a hot mama, and I'm being cheerful." And the doctor said, no, that's not what I said. I said, you have a heart murmur and you need to be careful." As we all know, listening sometimes is not as easy as we think it is. And to be accurate, hearing and remembering what is said in services and in life in general can be downright daunting at times. Well, at least it is for me anyway. So the question is, how do we go about solving that problem of hearing and remembering what is said? So I thought it might be helpful to address the massive, and it is a massive subject, of becoming more active, effective listeners. And I'll share with you a few tips that may help us with this endeavor, and hopefully we'll be better doers of what we hear and doers of what we read in Scripture, in services, and in life in general. Now, I love how James 1:25 puts it. James 1:25, I already have my Bible open there. We'll turn to James 1:25, and it says, and by the way, I'm going to quickly state, I can see now. This light is very helpful. Thank you. James 1:25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." To be sure, active listening is a very important skill for all of us to develop, because listening has a major impact on our relationships with each other and with our Father and with Christ, our brother, as well. Now, I'd like to quote Wikipedia on the subject of active listening. Quote, "Active listening is the practice of preparing to listen, observing what verbal and nonverbal messages are being sent, and then providing appropriate feedback for the sake of showing attentiveness to the message being presented." Still quoting, "Active listening is listening to understand. This form of listening conveys a mutual understanding between the speaker and the listener. Speakers receive confirmation their point is coming across, and listeners absorb more content and understanding by being consciously engaged." So did you get that? So we all have a duty, and when we fill these seats, we have a job to do when we're sitting in these seats every Sabbath. And I love how the NIV phrases Luke 8:18 in this context. Luke 8:18, I'm just going to read it here. It says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more," right? "Whoever does not have, even what they think that they have, will be taken away." So the pull quote from that passage to me, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." In a few moments, I'll share with you a few tips given by the chair of the Sound Agency. His name is Mr. Julian Treasure. Julian Treasure, on how to become better active listeners in general. And by the way, he's all over TED Talk and YouTube. He's got a lot of information out there. Very useful. I highly recommend looking him up, Mr. Julian Treasure. So Mr. Treasure is an advisor to large organizations on how to use sound in their organizations more effectively. He says we spend 60% of our communication time listening. We listen to obtain information, to learn, to understand, and also for enjoyment. Kind of understood there, right? But the problem is we only retain 25% of the information that we hear. Now, I've got another quick question. How are we to be better doers of the word if we only retain 25% of what's given in services every Sabbath? Just another reason to be here every Sabbath, don't you think? And according to Mr. Treasure, we all have filters. We all have filters in which we process information that we are, for most of us, totally unaware of. We're totally unaware of the filters that we have in our own minds and our own lives. We obliviously act on these filters, therefore creating our own sense of reality, which may not be quite reality at times. We should understand that it takes conscious, active listening to create understanding. Conscious, active listening to create understanding. Not just showing up, filling a chair in an audience, or sitting in the audience on our phones with our friends, right? So today I'll share with you just a few of the many tips from Mr. Treasure on how to be more effective, active listeners. First little tip is very easy. It's called silence. Silence. He says to give yourself at least 10 minutes every day devoted to meditation. Now, meditation is one of those little things that we know about, we hear about a lot of times in services, right? But we never really do it. 10 minutes of every day of meditation is an effective way to silence the noise of this world. And I guarantee you, we get a lot of it, a lot of it. And the second little tip is basically an exercise that Mr. Treasure calls the mixer. It's called the mixer, M-I-X-E-R. It goes like this. When we're in a noisy environment, stop. Stop and listen. Listen to the differing channels that are in that audience or the noisy situation that you're in. They will exist. Try to point them out. I've done this. Man, it's actually kind of exciting when you notice the different channels in that noisy environment. It's a great exercise to improve the quality of our listening. Third little tip that I'll share with you is called savoring. Now, I'm gave a little more time on this one because I think it's more important than the others. Not more important, but it's vital. Savoring. Mr. Treasure makes the point that we should learn to enjoy and appreciate the everyday mundane sounds of life. He calls it life's hidden choir. Example of this could be the sound of a clothes dryer, right? A dishwasher, rain, thunderstorm. I'm going to take this a little further, if you will. We're here every week. Every Sabbath we're here. It's inevitable that each message that we hear, every one of them, can start to sound like that clothes dryer, right? Same repetitive sound over and over again. The messages that we hear can start to lose their individuality and start blending and fading away into the distant crevices of our mind until they're totally forgotten forever. Simple fact, it's impossible to remember every message given. I understand that. I'm simply asking, and I truly am asking us all, including myself, to savor every message that we hear and appreciate every message that we hear. Now, I have a very pointed question to all of us, myself included. How in the world can we savor and appreciate any message without notes to fall back on after we go home? Notes remind us of what we've just heard. It helps us to savor that message. It's like this. Most of us will always remember having a fine meal with loved ones or good friends, right? During that occasion, we savor every message, every word, every morsel that we have during that time. We appreciate it, right? Because it's valuable time to us. I guarantee a meal savored is a meal remembered. A message savored is a message remembered. Each Sabbath is that special occasion. We come together as one body. We do. We come together as one body, one spirit, to hear the words of God. All of us. That's why we're here. Remember, the goal is to be effective, active listeners. When we're in these seats, that is our job. God expects no less, plain and simple. Our time here is special. Let's savor it. And the fourth, final one here is listening positions. Now, this is where we become more aware of our filters that I mentioned earlier. It's self-exam times, kind of like the spring holidays. For the record, our filters can and will inhibit our ability to not only comprehend, but to absorb or even appreciate what's given in services or in life in general. It's just the way it is. And I'll give you a list of the filters if you're ready, if you're taking notes. There are seven of them. I'll go through them and I'll repeat them. The first filter that most of us are completely unaware of is our culture. The second one is our language. Third one, our values. Fourth is our beliefs. Fifth, our attitudes. Sixth, our expectations. And the final one is our intentions. Now, these are vital. Again, the filters are our culture, language, values, beliefs, attitudes, expectations, and our intentions. Dirty clogged filters allow very little or almost no clean information, or if you will, clean water, to pass through. Now, back in Alabama, we used to have an above-ground pool, right? And it had these little filters that I had to replace regularly. If I did not replace that filter on a timely manner, that water became absolutely filthy. And that filter would just look like some gnarly, nasty mess. Until I cleaned or replaced the filter, that's when the water cleared up. Now, that's us. That is us, precisely. If our filters allow us to hang with those who have, you know, a really bad moral outlook, or allow us to watch or listen to highly inappropriate material, then I'd say, or other, you give the you think of your own example. I would say that it's time for us to clean our filters. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I would say we're in dire need of a good filter cleaning on a regular basis. The goal here is to be more aware of our filters, constantly adjusting them so that our minds may be more receptive to God's word and to each other. It's like creating fertile soil for God's word to take root. The soil must be tilled, it must be fertilized, watered, and have enough sun to grow and flourish. Luke 8 verses 14 and 15. I'll turn there in Luke 8, verses 14 and 15. So I can get there. Luke 8, 14. It says, "Now the ones that fell on among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." Clogged filters, if you will. And verse 15, "But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience," i.e. clean, pure filters. Conscious, active listening creates understanding and a fertile mind for the word of God to be planted and to bear good fruit, plain and simple. You know, by diligently working on our listening skills, we can improve on that 25% retention rate, can't we? As we learn to meditate each day and become more conscious of the sounds of life, savoring each message given every Sabbath, replacing our nasty old filters and asking ourselves how we're going to apply the message to our lives, hopefully we'll become more active, effective listeners, and in turn, better stewards of the truth and better doers of God's word. And I'll end with a brief thought from an old Simon and Garfunkel song. When one speaks and no one truly listens, the only sound is silence.